Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
So, good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Beautiful day right now, but more snow on the way. And before anybody complains, April is the second snowiest month we have. So, don't act like this is like
some
shock.
Is March the first?
March, yeah.
Yeah, springtime is what we get.
Yeah, this is what we get hit. So, just, you know, deal with it. All right? Deal with it. You'll appreciate it later on. So I had to get your thoughts on this because this started running. I heard him say this and then it became a promo and I thought of you when I heard our very own Zach Bye say this.
Juwan James is going to play great football for the Denver Broncos, have a Garrett Bowles-esque comeback, and the narrative around Juwan will shift the same way that it did for the tackle on the other side.
Okay.
All right.
What do you think of that?
Bullsy
type, is Juwan James going to get in the JJ zone?
Is there room at the GB zone for JJ?
No, my zone is GB zone.
I don't know.
Or do you have to create your own zone?
Create your own zone.
BYOZ. Bring your own zone, baby. This is a BYOZ.
BYOZ.
Hey, listen, none of us in the media or anywhere else have ever said anything about anything but Juwan James can play. And Juwan James has proven that he can play. It's just that Juwan James hasn't often been available. Since he's been a Bronco, he's been available for what, 63 snaps? So, you know, and this has been part of the history. You can look throughout his career, you know, play really well for a time and then I am spent or I am injured or I can't go or I can't, whatever. So yeah, it's the guy that I always call 100%er. I'm not feeling great. I'm not playing. And that's a tough way. You know, good for him. He's made the money and he's, you know, gotten the opportunity, but you got to play hurt in this league. And so for that standpoint, he may come back and play great this year. That's awesome. He's not a long-term answer at right tackle. You still have to, in my mind, you still have to address your offensive line in this draft. You still have to go out and get yourself another player, you know, and probably have to draft yourself a tackle fairly high. Is you're not, like, once this year is over and you're out of most of the dead cap situations that you were in, I mean, you're not counting on him long term. You can't.
No, you can't.
It'd be bad business.
Well, and I understand who I'm talking to right here, so I'm probably serving you up a hanging curveball, cement mixer style, but you always hear, hey, you know, you're in the top 10. You may never get a better chance to draft a franchise quarterback. Well, I mean, could you kind of say the same thing about drafting a premier tackle? Meaning, if there is this expected run, if five quarterbacks go in the top eight picks, and one of these offensive linemen, Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater, drop to number nine, could you look at it the same way? Even if you think that Juwan James might be motivated and might have a good year, can you pass on taking one of these kind of tackles?
If there is a guy that you think is premier and could be, you know, could solve an issue for the next 10 years, you don't have to think about it, and he plays that, take him. I mean, take him. Talk about luxury. You know, I've said this forever about Kansas City. And you could say what you want about Fisher because he's probably not a top five tackle in the league, but he's pretty darn good. And then Mitchell Schwartz. And I've told you guys this, I told you guys this forever when Broncos drafted back-to-back wide receivers in the draft, which is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And everybody got excited, right? Everybody driving up and down I-25, woohoo! Now we're going to compete with Kansas City. And what affords Kansas City the opportunity to get five out all the time? You saw in the Super Bowl, they got five out, I think it was 90% of the time, they got five receivers out in the pattern. Now, they couldn't hold up because both the tackles were gone. The reason they've been able to do that and the reason they've been able to eviscerate people on the offensive side of the ball with the speed is because they could hold up front while they're doing that. And so when you have the opportunity to say, hey, at any moment, we're not afraid to go five one-on-ones across the board because here's the deal. Our outlet or our quick throw, our guy is so much better than your guy covering him. Even if you bring extra, we're going to get rid of the ball quickly because we win automatically out there. So if you can hold up even for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, because your tackles are that good, it frees you up to do so many other things on the offensive side of the ball.
You use the word luxury, though. Is that a luxury this franchise can afford to take right now? Do they just have too many other needs?
No. I'll go back to what you say all the time.
Quarterback for some, middle, you know, linebacker, corner.
I'll go to what you say all the time. You don't get worse by taking really good elite players. You don't. You figure it out. And building a football team is not a, hey, one-off season proposition. Now we're back. It's not how it works. It takes some time. And you have to be, as a fan base, patient. And you have to understand that process.
Well, I'm just kind of curious where the, well, this is what I want to talk. There used to be a time, this time of year, you always heard this. And I'm not hearing it as much anymore. And I'd like to know what changed. What happened to those people who like to say this? Tell you what this is next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
You know, far be it for me to call any of our listeners hypocrites. You know, I would never do anything like that, Stink.
Oh, no, you would never, ever.
But I find it kind of amusing how some people have changed their tune. In this zest to go out and get a quarterback, any quarterback, people seem to have forgotten something that they used to hammer me with over the years. And this was back when the Broncos were set at quarterback, a lot of times when they had Peyton, right? Yeah. And I'd be talking about, you know, going out and targeting a specific position.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd immediately get, if I only had a quarter for every time somebody would say, you can't reach. Follow the board. Draft best player available. It's always BPA, best player available. You can't go wrong taking the best player available. Where'd those people go? Because you understand that if you draft one of these quarterbacks, you're not taking the best player available. These, especially in the case of if it's Justin Fields. He will not have a higher grade than your scouts who have been working all year long have come back with their grades. He will not have a higher grade than Penny Sewell.
Right.
Or Rashawn Slater. Or Micah Parsons. Or Patrick Surtain.
Yes, correct.
So where are those people? What happened to staying true to your board?
Yeah, those people have morphed into best player available at a position of need.
Okay, fine. I'll play that game then.
Okay.
That's the Brian Billick line.
Yes.
He goes, don't kid yourself. You take the best player available at a position need. Is linebacker a position in need?
Yes.
Is cornerback a position in need?
Yes.
Is, in your opinion, yes, offensive line right tackle a position in need?
Yes.
All right. And I'll throw quarterback in there. Okay, then we're still back to the same thing. We just identified four positions of need.
Correct.
You take the best player at a position of need.
At a position of need.
That's not a quarterback.
The problem is, you know, and we have documented, I mean, very well on this show, is that the added weight of the quarterback position in many people's minds has created this, like, okay, this guy may be, you know, the 17th player on our board, but the added weight, the value, like he grades exponentially more important because of the position. So then we'll go ahead and move up and grab him. And ultimately, that part blows me away, because if you do that, seriously, so think about this. Okay. So let's say that if you're just grading it out, if you're just, whether it's Trey Lance or whether it's Justin Fields, they're probably, let's call them between 20 and 30 of the best graded out players. Maybe lower, who knows? But let's just say they're between 20 and 30. And you move up and grab that guy at 6 or 7 or 4 or whatever it is, right? So you've bypassed all this. So you've weighted that position exponentially more important for your franchise. So my question to you would be, now you've put all this weight on that particular player, right? How are you supporting that player?
You know, you've really won me over with the whole idea that there's only a few quarterbacks in this league that cover warts.
Oh,
most,
yeah,
of the other quarterbacks, you're trying to cover the quarterback's warts.
100%.
And so I'm not arguing about the importance of the position, but for the argument that, well, because it's a quarterback position, you have to weigh it proportionally different so that even if they're not graded as high, you still have to take them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing that, aren't you basically admitting that you're taking a quarterback that is not a wart coverer?
Yes.
You're, yeah, taking a quarterback that if you have enough around him, he can be a really good quarterback for you.
Right. But what you're doing is saying, but, like, this is why it makes sense for San Francisco, where it doesn't make sense for other teams. So San Francisco made sense because why? They drafted a right tackle in the first round who's a good player. They have maybe the best left tackle in all of football, or at least the most aggressive left tackle in all of football, in Trent Williams, that they paid big money to. They drafted over the course of years. Now, the one guy went to Indianapolis, Buckner, but they drafted 5 defensive linemen in the first round. They're getting Nick Bosa back. They have Armstead. They have Solomon Thomas, if he's still there. They have D Ford is coming back. They have a lot of first-round D linemen. They have the best middle linebacker in football. They play a system on the defensive side of the ball that is that puts a premium on understanding over athleticism. They have Jason Verrett, who was an all pro and then had 4 years of injuries and came back and played really well last year. So they've got Kaywan Williams, if he's still there, is one of the best nickel defenders in football. They've got Jaquaski Tartt, and they've got a couple of guys that can really play. They are really loaded. Offensively and defensively, they can say, hey, we're going to give up first round draft choices for the next 2 years because you know why? We have an open window right now to win for the next 4 or 5 years. Everything is locked in. So,
even and we have one quarterback we like.
We have a quarterback already that we like.
A quarterback.
Right.
A.
Yeah, a quarterback in the draft. But we have a veteran quarterback who proved he can take us to the Super Bowl if everything is right.
Yeah, but they wouldn't be doing this if they really thought Garoppolo could be the guy to take them all the way.
No, of course not, because of health and because of, you know, other things. But the bottom line is they know even this year, if they have to groom that one quarterback they like, even this year, they're still going to be in it. So, I mean,
it's a gamble worth taking
right,
for them.
They're in a perfect position. If you move up to grab a quarterback because you put a premium on that quarterback and you don't have that guy supported, he's going to get exposed, much like the Jets exposed Sam Darnold. Okay, well, we'll kick the can down the road and we'll start over again. Well, I mean, are you really? I mean, do you think he's going to solve your issues? He going to solve the problem? Oh, no, but now we're better. Yeah. Now we got it figured out.
I just want to know, whatever happened to best player available? You know who you are. Come on. You used to go back. You know who you are. You went around and around with me. You got to stay true to your board. You got to take the best player available, regardless of position. Okay, what happened? I don't get that anymore. I don't see that anymore. Why? Just curious.
Mm-hmm.
Promiselaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Four down territory. The charade that is this whole player boycott has finally been exposed for what it really is. Details next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is four down territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No source fiesta.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
This is a democracy, and I understand that democracies can be messy. The men make a decision where everybody is heard and everybody gets an opportunity to vote, and that's all I can ask for.
All right, there's Damar Smith, the head of the NFLPA, and 20 teams now have agreed in some form or fashion to boycott the voluntary workouts that start today. Some are full-team boycotts. Some are, hey, if you have a workout bonus, go ahead in, or, you know, mm-hmm. But it's up to 20 teams. The Broncos are one of them. I bristled. I thought it was distasteful when the Broncos came out and said that this was driven by COVID protocols. I thought that was a bunch of BS. And it took Damar Smith comments he made over the weekend to reveal just how BS it is. Here's what he said. Notice what is left out of this statement. Quote, we've known for years that this is a voluntary workout where a lot of coaches put their finger on the scale. And while they call it voluntary, they expect players to show up. I think that what you're seeing now is for the first time players exercising their voice, or one of the first times people exercising their voice to say no. And frankly, it's probably one of the few times that coaches have ever heard players say no. And for some players, it's probably the first time they've said no to their coach. What is not said in this? Nothing about COVID protocols.
About
this is just about the players feeling we got to get a win somehow. We got to puff out our chest and try to show we got some power.
This is the players saying we want all virtual. We don't want to come in. We don't. Which you said and we talked about this. It would have been. I'd have respected that. That would have been better than saying, we don't want to come into that. And, hey, by the way, the NFL did reach out to them on multiple occasions with a plan and said, hey, what do you think? Let's negotiate. Let's figure out what this is. This is what I've been told multiple times, to which they never actually responded. And then at the very, the 11th hour, no, we don't want to come in. So it's not like they didn't have an opportunity to negotiate this. They just don't want to come in. They want it to be complete virtual offseason.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Lance will throw on third and 23. Steps up. He will run. Lance to the 40, to the 35, to the 30. Lance, 20, 15, 10, 5. Try in there, baby. He scores. On third and 23. The Walter Payton Award winner to the house.
North Dakota State Radio. Trey Lance having another pro day today, his second. Mark, how would you feel about the idea, if the Broncos did go quarterback, if they went Trey Lance, taking a guy that everybody agrees has a lot of talent and potential,
mm-hmm.
but also everybody agrees is raw and is in probably need of a redshirt season? Do you think this fan base would have the kind of patience for that kind of scenario, that kind of QB prospect. Or if they're going to go quarterback, it needs to be somebody who, in theory, can play pretty quickly.
I don't think they have. I don't think they have the patience. I really don't. Yeah. Is there anybody, like, is there anybody you think that they're going to take that can play really quickly? I mean, you can play guys.
Yeah, no, I think in theory, certainly guys like a Justin Fields who have played at the highest level of college football, played in a big-time conference against big-time opponents on a big stage. In theory, he should be somebody that could play sooner rather than later. He shouldn't be looking at a full redshirt year.
Okay, are you gonna implement an offense that best suits his skill set? Are you gonna put him into exactly what you want to run? You know, I mean, because now you're talking about, well, what do we run here? What have we built for Drew Lock? Now do we have to build something for Justin Fields that's different? Is it similar? Is it the same? Is it different?
Well, you just take the same kind of offense that Russell Wilson ran early in his career, Josh Allen ran earlier in his career, where it's, hey, while you're learning to play quarterback, run around, make some plays, and hopefully don't get hurt. That's what Josh Allen did for 2 years.
Do you have a quarterback or a coordinator that's willing to do that?
Well, if you don't, then you got to get a new coordinator. I hope you're not going to draft a guy like, if you do draft Justin Fields and say, all right, listen, we're going to have you in shotgun all the time, throwing the ball 38 times a game. That would be a bad recipe, I think.
I'm just saying there's a lot of things that you got to think about before you go down that road.
Next in fourth down territory.
Third down.
Oh, my goodness.
Grabbed by Aaron Donald. A third down sack for AD 99. 13 and a half on his season.
Rams radio, the attorney representing the man who accused Aaron Donald of assault earlier this week is now offering an apology to Donald on behalf of his client.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Donald was trying to save his bacon, trying to save his life, trying to help, trying to be a good Samaritan. Instead, he was falsely accused of being the attacker.
I knew it.
What do you mean you knew it?
No, Aaron Donald is awesome. So, makes me happy that he got an apology.
You know, it's just further proof that can we wait until all the facts are in?
By the
before
way,
before we rush to a judgment?
How stupid would you have to be?
Is that hard?
How stupid would you have to be to challenge Aaron Donald anyway?
Right?
Right?
Like, right?
Have you watched him? Have you? He's like, you ever been tuna fishing?
Have I ever been tuna fishing?
Yeah.
I have not been tuna fishing. I love tuna fish, but I have not been actually
tuna. Like tuna fishing
for tuna.
Great, because when you catch one, you know, you reel it. It takes forever to reel it up. They're like 25, 30 pounds, whatever they are, right? As soon as they get to the water, you know, they're like where they can see the boat and see you. They essentially take their little flipper and give you the finger, and they go right back down to the bottom. They're like one solid muscle. He is like a big tuna fish. He's just one big solid muscle.
Do you have proof that tunas flip people off?
Oh yeah, I've done it.
You've been flipped off by a tuna?
He looked me right in the eye, square in the eye. His tuna eye looked at me, and I could tell what he was like. Up yours, and he just gone. And at the time, I had a herniated disc in my back, and I was in all kinds of pain. And I could tell he was just toying with me. It was awful.
I broke my back.
Yeah.
Spinal.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I was always kind of motivated by people that say, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're not fast enough. Not big enough. You don't have a good enough arm. You know, I've had a body of work over a period of time. So, you know, you just say, hey, like, quickly you forget. I think that's the great part about football. It's not really about what you did last year. It's kind of what you're going to do this year. So for me, it was what I was going to do for the Bucks last year. I still feel that way.
I love Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is recovering from knee surgery. Now, apparently this knee surgery was serious enough and invasive enough that He says he'll be able to resume his typical training and participate in a mandatory June minicamp, if there is one. This guy played the Super Bowl in February. Now, I read an article that said Brady's knee situation was far more serious than anybody let on or talked about.
Uh-huh.
And this unnamed Buck official said, when the whole story comes out, this will only add to his legend.
Well,
did you hear any? I mean, you and he are best friends now. Did he ever share anything with you about how serious his knee injury was?
No, he's not one of those guys. Oh, look at me. Oh, my knee's so sore. No, but
he's not Ben Roethlisberger.
No, he wouldn't have a big clown boot on going, oh, look how bad my shoe or my foot is. Oh, it's horrible. I've got this turf toe. That's why I'm wearing a size 26 on this shoe. Yeah, no, he's not that guy. Although, if he comes through Denver, I will gladly rub buttermilk on that knee.
Oh, God.
You name it, I will tenderly, lovingly slather that thing in buttermilk.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. All right, we've got Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. Will the Broncos be represented at Trey Lance's second pro day? Troy will join us coming up next. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. And he sat in for you on Friday.
Yes.
Did a great job. I can't thank him enough because we had the weather on Thursday into Friday. And he drove all the way down. Took him like an hour and a half to get down here from Longmont. You were almost Wally Pipped.
Mark. You guys were almost... I almost left my mitt on the,
That's right.
On first base.
Left it on first base, left it for Troy, and he never gave it up. Morning, Troy.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good, Lou.
Lou.
Feeling good, Wally.
Hey, will the Broncos be represented at Trey Lance's second pro day today?
That is the expectation, is that offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur, as he was with Justin Fields' second day, will be there in Fargo. They're keeping all options open, clearly, a quarterback in the first round, whether that's at 9 or trading up. But they are expected, yes, to have a presence there today. The Niners are supposed to have a heavy presence, and, you know, as they did with Fields, kind of direct some of the workout. Obviously, Fields and Trey Lance see an opportunity to try to sneak up to that third pick if that's not Mac Jones. I mean, if you're a quarterback, to go to Kyle Shanahan's offense at 3 of the team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, that's obviously appealing. So you'll see the fingerprints of the Niners on this workout that John Beck runs today.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see exactly kind of how this whole thing goes down and where the San Francisco 49ers are kind of lined up in regards. There was a report that they didn't have interest in Fields, and just your overall sense of where the Broncos' interest is just more due diligence, or do you really think there's a chance at 9 or even maybe higher than that they would move up to grab a quarterback?
I mean, the sense when I talk to people in the industry is there's enough interest from them in quarterback that they could make a move. It doesn't mean they will, and clearly they're going to keep their cards close to the vest here. They're not going to make it obvious. Like, the Niners made it obvious. They traded up for a quarterback. The Broncos are not making it obvious. I don't think they believe they can surrender the draft capital to move to 4, given where they are from a roster standpoint. But if a quarterback's still on the board at 7 or 8, would they move up 1 or 2 spots? I do believe they will, because they would look at it like, we don't expect to be drafting in the top 10 anytime soon. We've got a chance to get a quarterback here, quarterback of the future, that probably, you know, wouldn't necessarily preclude Drew Lock from getting another chance, at least for the first part of this coming season. So there's just a lot, you know, where the smoke, there's fire. There's just a lot of smoke that they're willing to make that move. And you do need to read into the fact they've been at all these quarterback workouts. It's due diligence, but it's more than that, I guess, is what I'm saying, that it's put them in position to take one comfortably, given all the research they've done, if that's the direction they want to go.
Yeah, okay, but under that scenario, the idea that Drew could still be the guy is ridiculous. Ask Kyle Orton how that works, where, you know, 70,000 people are chanting Tebow's name. You know how it is around here, Troy, especially coming off the 5 years that we've had. If they draft a quarterback, I mean, there's going to be blood and they'll be, you know, chum in the water, right? I mean, people are going to be demanding to see that guy sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, in the case of Lance, it would be easier to argue that he fits that Mahomes profile of, and he started way less than Mahomes in college, but that he would kind of need a redshirt year, that if he played at the end of the season two or three games, that would make a lot of sense. But he played 17 college games. I mean, he would be right in the top five quarterbacks with the fewest starts in college to go, you know, in the first round. So it's easier to say with Lance, and he's 20 years old. So you'd be like, yeah, we love Lance, but he's a little raw. He just hasn't competed as much as the other guys in terms of number of games, you know, so that makes sense. I think Broncos country could actually reconcile that, you know, unless you get off to an 0-4 start or something. But in the case of Justin Fields is different because most fans have seen him play the last 2 years because every one of his games is on TV, including, you know, against Clemson, against Alabama, against Michigan. I mean, so that one would be, to your point, Mike, that if, you know, if Drew Lock has a bad day in camp, you know, becomes a referendum on his starting job with Fields sitting there. There's no doubt it would, that could be a little bit crazy. With Lance, to me, it just feels different because he's 20 and he started 17 college games.
Yeah, that is, I mean, that it's an interesting topic. Let's say that quarterback is not, you know, in there where they want to go. So, based on all the information that you've garnered from the Broncos and inside sources and everything else that you do, kind of where, what would they lean toward? Is it corner? Is it, I've seen a bunch of mock drafts with Micah Parsons, the linebacker from Penn State. Like, what is your overall sense in how they evaluate their roster and what their most important needs are to go after in the draft?
Well, if they stay at 9, I think they get the best defensive player in the draft. Because I believe that the tackles are probably gone between Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater. I could be wrong there, but that's my belief. I'm not sure they like, you know, if one of those were to fall to them, that's probably in play. But I believe if they stay at 9, it's the best defensive player available, and that is Micah Parsons with a slight hedge over a corner. It's the way it's described to me is they really, really like J.C. Horn, the cornerback from South Carolina. So Surtain has been number one in the corners, but if you like Horn, then I don't see you taking Surtain at 9. That's why I say if they stay at 9 and they take the best defensive player available, I give a slight nudge to Micah Parsons, an inside backer who technically could cover in space. Now, he played more zone than man at Penn State, but he runs a 4.3, 6.40. The Broncos clearly don't have a guy like that on their roster right now, and he's big enough at almost 250 pounds, 246. He can rush the passer from the outside, so you could see how Vic Fangio would get a player like that, a hybrid player, and find a, you know, a way to really maximize his potential, even if it's early in his career. If they trade back, you know, with somebody, let's say, you know, the Patriots want to jump up or something, and the Broncos say, you know what, we don't want a quarterback, we're just not comfortable, and the Patriots jump up and they trade back to like 15. Then that's where I say they could go best edge rusher on the board, and then you're going to deal with some character concerns on some of these guys. But Jalen Phillips from Miami, because this might be Vaughn's last year, so you're looking for like a developmental pass rusher that in year two would be an impact guy. Or J.C. Horn would be in play there if he doesn't go earlier, the corner. And then that would give you an additional second-round pick to perhaps address safety, you know, Richie Grant-type player, Javon Holland, the kid from Oregon. So that's why if you look at just the most practical thing would be to trade back, pick up an extra pick in the second round. It's just this quarterback conversation. It does with every draft. It dominates everything. It just dominates because the value of that position is so great that if you don't take one and he turns out to be good, it doesn't matter that you picked up an extra second round pick, no matter who you take there.
All right. Hey, when we talked about the idea of the Rockies losing 100 games, did we maybe oversell it or maybe undersell it? Is 110 in play or more?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to see players go through this because there's nothing worse as a professional athlete than being on a bad baseball team because it's 162 games. And knowing you feel like you're out of it at the end of April. I've covered a couple Rockies teams like that. I don't know that I've ever covered one that's this far back in the standings this quickly. I mean, it's just, that's the nature of the beast with the Dodgers in the division who, you know, are going to be threatening for 110 wins, and the Rockies feel like the juxtaposition of that is they could, you know, threaten 110 losses. Teams end up winning games they shouldn't. Teams kind of check out a little bit late in the season. So to lose 110, no. But they definitely, as I've said for months, this would probably be the first Rockies team to lose 100 games, because while people look at their offense and think, oh, they've got this guy and this guy, a lot of these guys are, you know, they're utility guys and they're reserve players. It doesn't mean they're not good players, but when you put them in everyday lineup positions, they get exposed. You know, and you see that with Crone, you see that with Fuentes, you see that a little bit with Hampson, you see that. I mean, you just get guys who aren't really everyday players. They're valuable pieces, but when you play them every day, they, you know, again, that's difficult for them in terms of matchups, but it's ugly. Man, is it ugly. And their pitching staff, they walk too many guys. And if they can't win, to your question, Mike, if they can't win 40 games at home, it makes it very difficult for them to avoid 100 losses, because on the road, they're not going to hit enough to win very much.
Ugh, all right. Troy, thank you. We'll talk to you later in the week.
You got it, too.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He is presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. We got question mark coming up in just a couple of minutes. Yeah, right now, got a text. Right now, they're on pace for 41 and 121. Oh, they are definitely losing at least 100.
Yeah, I think that is correct. And you know what? It's like I say with the draft all the time, where people will like, hey, man, we had a great draft. We had four starters. You know, we drafted four starters. Well, if they all should be backups, that's not a great draft. You know, even crappy teams have to start 22 guys. You don't go, hey, listen, we don't really have of our 11 players on defense, we really only have truly seven starters. So we're just going to play seven. No, you still have to put the other four out there. You still have to play 11 on 11. And yeah, it's just the way it goes. It's a great point. One, it's really hard going from altitude to going to sea level as a hitter. Your timing is off. The break on the pitches, there's more break. There's an adjustment, and it's hard to adjust. Then, like he said, if you're really just playing your utility players or your starters, and it's already hard to be a big league hitter on a consistent basis, and you shouldn't be an everyday lineup guy, that adjustment is just, I mean, it's really difficult.
Boy. I mean, the one thing we always figured with Rockies teams is, okay, will this fast start last? Or right. Will the inevitable June swoon
right.
occur? We're not even getting the fast start.
No.
They're getting buried right away.
We're in the April swoon.
Right? I mean, we haven't even gotten to the tough part of the season for most Rockies teams.
No.
Oof, look out below. Look out below. This is going to get ugly. Ugly. Can I do it right now, Benny? This is KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.